Hey everyone, this is the HopeCast from Hope Church RVA. I'm Rachel Dawson and I'm part of the communications team here at Hope. And I'm joined today by our discipleship pastor, Dan Yoon.
Hi.
We're here to have a conversation about common questions in life and faith in under 30 minutes. And today we're here to have a conversation about rhythms. So Dan, we are in the thick of summer.
Yes.
And with this arrival of summer can come a lot of changes to our rhythms, the way we spend our days and our weeks and our months. So I'd love to hear for you and maybe your family, what does it look like for you all in the summer? How have things maybe shifted for you, different from the rest of the year?
Yeah. Disclaimer, of the four seasons that we experience here in Virginia, summer is my least favorite.
Same.
Yeah. And I know a lot of people love it and I get it. And hey, I'm for you, but I don't do well in what I feel is extreme heat and uncomfortable situations.
Listen, I don't like to sweat.
Yeah,
like,
that's
my
thing.
Would rather not.
Or that's not my thing. Sweating is not my thing. So anyway, aside from personal preferences, we have two young kids, and our daughter had just finished her first year of school, aka kindergarten.
Mm-hmm.
And so she's home far more often than we had grown accustomed to since last fall.
Yeah.
And it doesn't necessarily affect me as much as it does affect Jess, my wife, now having two kids at home at all times. And so that's one of the ways that summer creates a different rhythm for us. Even work and ministry rhythms at this time of year, I think you may have mentioned this, but summertime here is usually when families go on vacations. And so whether you're on staff or whether you're part of our Hope community, there are often pockets of people who are no longer around. And so that kind of shifts the ebb and flow and the dynamics overall.
Mm-hmm.
And then I feel like there's a general more relaxed feel in the summer. Those are just some ways that summer tends to impact me, both on a personal and, I guess, professional level.
Mm-hmm.
But what about you?
It's actually interesting. So we here at Hope have a whole class of summer interns that come for a couple months in the summer, and they are generally college age students, so early 20s. And for them, obviously, they're usually in school, they're in college, and they come back for the summer, and their lives look really different in the summertime. And a lot of them ask, like, oh, how's your summer going? And as I've had conversations with them, I've realized my summer looks exactly the same as the entire rest of my year. Very little about my life and my rhythms actually shift in the summer.
Mm.
A lot of it is because I don't have kids. I don't have a family. And so my time is really just my own.
Yeah.
And that means that it doesn't shift a whole lot season to season.
Yeah.
My work does a little bit, as obviously in the kind of ministry world, when you're in the summer, kind of between Easter and Christmas, that looks a little bit different.
Yeah.
But especially with my work in the communications world, it kind of feels like there's not usually a huge lull even in the projects that we have going on. There's always something to be communicated and always something that we can be creating and sharing and opportunities to be inviting people into around the church and really in our digital spaces as well.
Yeah.
So not a lot really looks very different for me in the summer.
So I think even as you're sharing that, I think the two of us represent a pretty broad spectrum. And so I'm wondering for our listeners out there, if we could include a third voice into this conversation, I'd ask you all, how does summer look different from your other months of the year, if at all?
Mm-hmm.
But thinking about these rhythms, part of our conversations between you and I in the space of these podcasts have been conversations around spiritual disciplines, aka ways that we can posture ourselves to engage and interact with God just at any time, really. And so with the differences in schedules, I'm wondering for you, Rachel, if you've had anything that you've done differently in the space of spiritual rhythms and disciplines that look unique because of the summer. In other words, maybe because the days are longer, you find yourself out walking outside more often, just taking in nature and communing with God in that way. Or maybe your mornings look different. What does that look like? What has that looked like for you so far?
Yes to all of the above.
Oh,
you
nice.
You nailed it. Exactly right.
I had no idea. That was a good guess.
I think definitely having the days be longer is helpful. I tend to be an early riser in the mornings. And so I have a couple hours before I get to work in the mornings.
Mm-hmm.
And I even tend to get to work usually an hour before the workday tends to really start. So that kind of, I like to have a long on ramp in the mornings.
Yeah.
And that usually is a time for me of reading and journaling. And it's nice to be able to do that outside on my patio and kind of get some fresh air too in the mornings.
Mm-hmm.
let me be very clear. I don't do that every day. Like that is not, I'm not some like, I don't have it totally dialed in. Mm. But when I do, I feel like the summer is a time where I do prioritize that a little bit better. And the sunlight and daylight helps with that a lot.
Yeah.
And I've kind of recommitted to some of those practices a little bit better now that I've had that extra kind of window to do that well. I think also for me, we talked about the spiritual discipline of worship and some things have shifted in my role here too, where I've been in a different space in Sunday mornings. So instead of being usually in the tech booth doing a production role on Sunday mornings, I've had the opportunity to be in our congregation and worship on Sundays. And so even just to be able to sing with our congregation and be amongst the kind of the body of believers on Sundays in worship has been really meaningful to me. And I've felt just the way that that's impacted my own faith. It's been kind of like a buoy for me in a season of just being able to, you know, sing out among lots of other voices and, you know, usually being in the back of the room, you don't hear the voices the same way. And to be up in the front lately has been really cool to hear things differently. And that's been really encouraging to me. So there's been kind of little mini shifts that I think I've found meaningful. I even got to lead the interns in devotions this past week and to get to spend time with them in a different type of context. There's just been kind of these different opportunities that the summer has allowed where I've found, I've experienced God in different ways. And we talked about this in a previous episode where I really do find, I connect with God a lot in nature, and the summer really allows for that to happen really well. Sometimes I just take a walk with a purpose of seeking out a different flower and kind of that being my way of when I take a turn to a different street corner, I'll look for the next hydrangea bush and that, you know, I walk to the next hydrangea bush and then I kind of turn to see where I find the next one and then walk in that direction. And even just kind of using that as an opportunity to let the Spirit kind of guide me in new ways and say like, okay, where am I going today? And can I kind of just let this be a meditative sort of walk and pray time with the Lord? Has been really sweet. And that can happen in the spring and in the fall and sometimes in the winter too. But I think in the summer, I just tend to do that a little bit more. And I've really found that I've connected with God in those ways. What about for you?
That's really cool. That's really cool. I think the one that sticks out to me most is I mentioned again that Ellie and Ezra are both at home a lot with Jess. And so by the time I get home, you know, late afternoon, early evening, they like run to me and just want all my attention. And so I think what I've tried to do, I started this last summer and I didn't think about making it a summer rhythm, but it's become one. And that is I'll spend the first, let's say 15, 20 minutes of every weekday in a psalm. In scripture. And so I intentionally come to my office here on site early. And I'll spend the first, like I said, 15, 20 minutes going through the Psalms. And so last year, I think I made it to like Psalm 75-ish, from 1 to 75. These later Psalms, they're longer. They are no longer like 8 verses each. They're like 45 verses. So
David
I'm in
got
like
the, wordy.
Yeah, he's got a lot to say. I'm in like Psalm 105 or 106 now.
So you started this summer where you left off last summer?
Correct.
Cool.
I was trying to get through all 150, but that didn't happen. So that's just one way that I'm reading through these things. And it's interesting, the last couple that I've read have really dialed into the past Exodus account. So it's almost speaking from the perspective of God and Moses and the people of God, but also what happened after God delivered them, particularly their grumbling. So it's like God did all of these great things, and look, Israel, you people of God, you're back to grumbling and rebelling.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's just an example that helps start my day slash week, helping me be mindful of how I see myself in scripture, in the narrative. So in other words, oh Lord, am I the type of person that has experienced your goodness but am quick to forget, am quick to lose my gratitude in that space. And so I found that to be very orienting throughout the weeks. And so, again, that's probably the clearest thing that feels like a unique summer rhythm in the space of spiritual disciplines.
That's really cool. I think the one we haven't really touched on a ton is, well, you mentioned it a little bit, the simplicity of even just a psalm a day. But even thinking when we look at rhythms for the summer as a whole, I think there's parts of summer that can feel a little bit simpler. Like there's something about I don't know, just, yeah, longer daylight and being out and, you know, playing in the cul-de-sac and something about that just kind of feels carefree and fun again. But even thinking about, I usually try to create like bucket lists for my summer, and I did that for the month of June, and I had like 30 things on my summer or my June bucket list.
Nice.
Which was, let me tell you, not simplicity. there were very many things on my list that I wanted to do in 1 month, and I did not accomplish them all.
How big in scope were some of these things? Was it like go to the Grand Canyon and the next day go visit Niagara Falls?
Like, I mean, some were simple and small. Like I wanted to eat a fresh watermelon and like get peaches from the farmer's market and go to Maymont, go to the art museum. But even some of those things, I'm like, well, there's only 4 weekends in the month of June, right? And I also had like some other things already on the books. And so long story short, I had way too many things planned for the month of June alone.
A little bit ambitious.
And I think that that often can be how we look at summer too, right? Yeah. We have a couple months and we feel like we have to cram a lot of things in, especially I'm sure with kids and lots of different schedules and camps and vacations and travels and all these different things kind of get stacked onto each other. Mm. And so I'm curious to maybe hear your thoughts on what the invitation to simplicity might look like in the summer and what we might be able to kind of do as maybe a step or just kind of a practical way to kind of embody more of the rhythm of simplicity in the summer months.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm even thinking about this week for our family. Again, given that Ellie is used to having activities every day during the school year,
right?
Jess feels the need to, you know, have structured activities throughout the week. But she, I don't know if she hit a wall or we all collectively hit a wall last night. And so today is Thursday. So yesterday, after dinner, Jess and I are talking. Jess had originally planned a few things for this morning, which included blueberry picking with the kids. And she just looked tired, and we made eye contact, and we both kind of shook our heads and said, you know what? I think tomorrow we're just going to stay home. And when she said that, I felt good for her, for our kids. And so that's just an example of stripping things away. Mm. And again, I think human nature is being faced with the possibility of seeing our insecurities in that open space. Mm-hmm. So in the silence, in a schedule that looks empty, we're like, oh my gosh, I need to fill it. I need to do something. But I think the spiritual discipline of simplicity invites us, A, to strip those things away to see that we don't really need them. But it's also an invitation to then reattach or be attached to something that is the source of life, aka God. So in the summer months, you know, for our listeners and even for myself, rather than being tempted to pack more, either literally in terms of a suitcase, your schedule, your itinerary, a bucket list, maybe take the opposite approach and say, how can I create space in this? So that would be maybe part A. And then part B would be the invitation again to see, how can I try to position myself with God either in a new way or in a way that I haven't done in a while? So again, going on a walk, meditating and letting God's word and his heart fill you, engaging God through scripture, having a moment of worship either with oneself or with other people. Mm-hmm. So that would be just a practical series of suggestions.
Yeah. I love that. I think that's a great invitation. I've looked at that bucket list again and thought, okay, what are a couple things that really matter to me about this list? And can I maybe set this as a broad goal for the rest of summer and have a little bit less pressure on myself and a little bit more space to breathe? And that's been, I think, fruitful.
Yeah.
Pun intended, because several of these goals were very much related to summer fruit.
Hey, summer fruit, that's where it's at. I will give summer that. You got some good fruit summer.
You do. So one spiritual discipline that we haven't covered yet in a specific episode is fellowship. Mm. And I do think that's a sweet part of summer, is it feels like there's some good opportunities to connect with other people and to have cookouts and picnics and barbecues and time at the pool with friends and the park and things like that. Are there any ways that your family tries to build in rhythms of fellowship or opportunities that you see for the people maybe listening to maybe create a rhythm or some opportunities to value fellowship in the summer months?
Yeah, it's a great question. It's a great value and rhythm. I think the approach that Jess and I are taking is to see if we can expand our circle just a little bit more. What do I mean by that? Well, we live in a community where there's a pool available, and so our kids really are getting to enjoy the pool more and more. especially as their proficiency in the water increases. Ezra, he's not even 2 yet. His proficiency is garbage. But
he's just splashing.
Yeah, exactly. But Ellie, she's taking lessons. So anyway, when we go, we ask ourselves or ask one another, hey, who can we invite?
Yeah.
And so over the course of Ellie's kindergarten year, we've been in touch with different parents whose kids are also in kindergarten, and some friendships are starting to develop. And to my awareness, some may be believers and some clearly are not. But that's just another reason for us to just be love around these people. And so we're like, hey, what if we invite so-and-so, right? And Ellie loves that. And maybe 1 out of 2 times they're able to come.
Mm-hmm.
But we'll share that experience together. We'll try to, invite them to share about their lives, vice versa. So that's one example, right? Just expand our circles, inviting other people into it. And we've also been on the receiving end. We're part of a small group in the Midlothian area. And our group leader, it has invited us in the last couple of months to just some social gatherings. We all have young kids, those of us that are in the group. And so they've got inflatables and, you know, water balloons and croquet. And so we just go and we just hang out. So it's not even content driven necessarily. It's just an environment where we get to hang out, ask questions, enjoy one another, and just develop a more authentic, deeper relational bond in those settings. So for those of us that are listening, my encouragement would be, or even challenge would be, to find ways to expand your circles in what you're doing. It's not that hard to invite someone else. Maybe it is, but that could be a challenge then. But finding ways to engage in fellowship, coming together, I think that's an opportunity during the summer months.
Yeah, that's great. I think sometimes we can make fellowship a little more daunting than it needs to be, and think that we have to have some excellent structured plan, or even have ourselves kind of figured out or have things together better before we invite people into our space or even into our lives. And I've found through recent times with friends that it can be a lot more casual than that.
Oh yeah.
Just a simple invitation to like come over and have a shared experience, or find a shared interest or something that even just one person loves, and it doesn't have to be everybody's shared interest.
Yeah.
But if somebody, for example, I really like Shark Week,
mm-hmm.
And that happens in the summer, and not everybody loves sharks and not everybody loves Shark Week, but it's an easy opportunity to say, hey, everybody, let's get together when Shark Week kicks off. We'll have it on. We'll have some fun snacks, and we'll just have some time together. Have a Shark Week party.
Sounds like a blast.
And party is a very low key word, right? It's going to be a couple snacks and maybe like a fun thematic something, some shark decorations around if I feel inspired, but it's a casual thing.
Yeah.
And it really can be that simple. I think an invitation to the pool is a great example of just, hey, I'm going to be doing this thing. Do you want to come alongside me? And we don't have to make it more complicated than that.
Yeah. And again, a lot of these disciplines are ways that we posture ourselves before God. But it's very communal as well. Our faith was meant to be personal, but not private, in that it's exclusive between just me and God. And so the ways that we can explore inviting other people into it, I think it's a beautiful thing.
That's great. Well, is there anything else that this summer brings to your life that you find meaningful or valuable that the other seasons don't bring? Anything that you really love about the summer, even if it's not your favorite season?
Oh, man. I think the fact that summer is challenging for me is actually a gift. On one hand, there's a sense of anticipation of the fall, which happens to be my favorite season. But truly looking for reasons to be grateful in what I have, I think, is also a spiritual discipline. Gratitude, right? Kind of in close proximity to worship in that space. But yeah, if I'm hot, if I'm feeling all like angry and grumpy, it's an opportunity to have a heart check. And I really don't want to sound over spiritual, but I do think sometimes if we just let ourselves mope around, that doesn't do anyone any favors. And it certainly doesn't create a sense of intimacy with God. And so even in the hard, knowing that God is with me, that God can take the hard and make it beautiful, is just an opportunity. So I guess last thoughts from me to our wonderful listeners is, regardless of what your summer rhythms look like, maybe this podcast is an encouragement to find ways that you can be intentional about posturing yourself before God. If it's slipped your mind, maybe this is an invitation back to it. Or maybe again, to simplify and be an let this be an encouragement that you don't have to do everything, even in this season. You can dial it back just a little bit.
That's great. I agree. I also am looking forward to the fall. It can't come soon enough. Well, thank you all so much for listening today. We invite you to subscribe to the Hopecast in your favorite podcast app. And maybe share this episode with a friend if you found it encouraging or maybe want to do some summer rhythms together this time of year. If you want to learn more about Hope and who we are, you can find us at hopechurchrva.com.
Bye.